Practice number one at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center is in the books. Ohio State training camp is underway in Berm. As snap judgments begin, if there was one key metric of success for the Buckeyes, they did not pass.
Yeah, we talked about it on the beat on Thursday morning. Like, what makes day one a success? And the first thing we said is get out without an injury. We are waiting word for the extent of it, but Edric Houston went down in practice, was on the field. I was not on that end of the field when it happened. I was on the other side. We were indoors because of some storms. I didn't see it happen. I didn't even know he was on the field until after we got into the team room.
Yeah.
You said 2 or 3 minutes on the turf and then no pressure on the right leg coming off the field. It's like one of those things that you're like, of all the guys you can afford to lose, that's probably very, very low on the list of like who you want out. But it's day one. Yeah. We don't know the severity of it. Try not to overreact. It is July 31st. But that's not great.
Yeah, there's a long way to go. And we're going to get into that and a lot more here on Snap Judgments on 97.1 The Fan, 10TV, 10TV Plus. This is the Austin and Berm Show, by the way. I'm Austin Ward. He's Jeremy Birmingham. They were in a sort of 11-on-11 period, and the split squad, there was some on the left and some to the right of me. So it was 11-on-11, and Edric Houston is a defensive tackle. It was in the midst. I can't tell you for sure if it was a non-contact, if it was a roll-up. I don't know. He's in a huge mass of bodies, but you were waiting to see, was that 96 that's on the ground? And you had Ryan Day was right there with it. The training staff was right there with it. Ohio State wanted to continue moving on drills, so they moved up the yardage a little bit, but it took, I don't know, a couple minutes before Edric Houston got up. A couple trainers carried him to the locker room immediately after he got up. He could not put any weight on his right leg. Now, as you said, this is day one. There is a full month to go before Ohio State plays against Texas. I think it was 2 years ago on this very day, on this very field, that Tyleik Williams slipped, had an ankle injury, and I thought, oh my gosh, well, that's the person that you can't afford to lose. Defensive tackle, such a critical position. We talked about the depth of that team 2 years ago, and we've talked all offseason about if there is enough capable depth for these Buckeyes at defensive tackle. And I think from that regard, and I don't want to be hyperbolic about it. If one of the wide receivers goes down, there's seven on this roster that can play. If that happened at corner or safety, Buckeyes have some guys that they trust and they can roll right through. And maybe they will get to that point with a Will Smith or with Tywan Malone. We'll see as camp goes on. But I think there's a possibility that you could make a case that the single most important player, the one that Ohio State could not afford to see on the ground today, was Edric Houston.
Yeah, but also I want to
reel me back in.
Yeah, like let's understand that some things are done out of precaution. Okay, if he, we assume he got rolled up on in a pile based on the way the play was set up, right? So don't want to overreact because it could be just an ankle sprain. It could be whatever. So let's not assume that the season's over and Edric Houston is unavailable for Texas. But I think the unfortunate part on a day like today is that because the way that they're split up the squads, we don't really know truly who the next guy up is.
I mean, for this particular drill, it was Eric Mensah.
Right, but on the other side of the field were Will Smith and Tywan Malone and Jarquez Carter. So you don't really know. Maxwell Roy not out there today as he recovers from something from the offseason. So the defensive tackle depth, which is already one of the larger concerns on the roster, becomes hard to discern when it's a split squad. So we could probably talk for an entire 20 minutes on this episode of Snap Judgments about Edric Houston and the potential impact if that is a severe or a long-term injury. But I feel like it would be reckless to speculate beyond what we saw and what we know and what, I guess, you know, we've seen Ryan Day a lot this offseason. He has generally been in a pretty upbeat and positive mood.
Yeah,
I know that America loves it when we try to
read the vibes,
or deep dive into Ryan Day's psychological state. When he came into his press conference after practice, this is 5 minutes after practice is over, he certainly did not have the first day jollies that you would have expected. He made it a point in his press conference to talk about how these Buckeyes, A, are very inexperienced and need a lot of reps. And so, you know, you ask, well, why is the starter out there? Because he's a second-year player. He needs to be getting as many reps as he can. But he also made a point to talk about how the players need to learn how to practice like NFL players. especially when you're not wearing pads, and taking care of each other. And that seemed intentional. So I'm just trying to figure out what he's trying to say without saying it. And so I think it seems like a situation where maybe there was a roll up, and those can feel very scary in the moment, and then they're fine a week later in some cases. Now, some cases it's out for the year. You don't know. But there were a lot of other things to talk about today. And when, you know, it was certainly not three quarters of the way through practice, I wasn't like, oh, this is the thing we have to lead snap judgments with. But now here we are. That's the way it works.
Yeah. Certainly expected that we'd be talking more about the way Ohio State was lining up with the offensive line, which was about what you'd expect even in the split squad. Or we can't avoid having conversations about the quarterbacks when you have, you know, the first three practices all being open, even if they're not in pads. Your eye is always going to be drawn to Lincoln Keenholz, Julian Sain, and Tavian St. Clair for what they're doing, given the importance of that position. So is there somewhere else that you want to go before we talk about the quarterbacks?
Let's get it out of the way. Let me ask you this question. How much weight should we assign to the fact that as they did the split squads inside, so they pulled them inside, and then basically for the remaining last 25, 30 minutes of practice, it was split squads and shell type drills, 7-on-7 type stuff, 11-on-11 type stuff, but wasn't a lot of obviously contact at all, or wasn't supposed to be. How much weight do we assign to the fact that on Lincoln Keenholz's side, he had the presumed starting left tackle, center, and right tackle, Jeremiah Smith, Brandon Innes, Max Clair, James Peoples, and Julian Sain was on the other side without all of those obvious starters? Or is that just me reaching for something to create drama?
I would say in my younger days, I'm taking that and reading the tea leaves.
Because the starting guards were on the other
side
with Julian Sain. But everyone
Carnell Tate was over there with Julian Sain. So I would say I've seen Ryan Day do this enough that I believe probably on Friday for practice number two, those roles will be reversed. So I'm not going to overreact to that part of it. There may be other things that I saw on Thursday that I'll overreact to, but not that part. Because I think that Ryan Day is wise to that situation.
Yeah, I've already seen on social media on Thursday morning a video clip taken by another member of the beat who posted a video of Julian Sain taking snaps from Carson Hinsman and said, Julian Sain is taking first team snaps with.
Yeah, but the first person who took snaps from Carson Hinsman was Lincoln Keenholz.
Right, but that part was left out of the tweet. And so I think that these are the things that are unfortunately going to cause a lot of these
narratives
to be formed. And again,
because that's what I was saying. I think Ryan Day is wise to that and is trying to cut it off, because you used to be able to look and say, well, who's working with, who's the battery, who's the starting quarterback and the starting center working together? Even in that drill, Ryan Day rotated them, or Billy Festival rotated them, or Brian Hartline rotated the team, all three. Like, we can't let anybody read anything into that. When they were throwing on air, when they were having 7-on-7 periods, they were both out there at the same time.
Eli Brickhandler got as many reps today as Julian Sain and Lincoln Keenholz and Tavian St. Clair did. So, like, you can't make anything out of what we saw out of the quarterback. So the rhetorical question I'm asking of how much weight do we put into it, the answer is zero.
From who was playing with who, I'd say zero. Absolutely. If you want to evaluate some of the throws and decisions, which, again, it's day one.
But, again, it's based on the offensive line you have and how the defense – I was watching Kenyatta Jackson and C.J. Hicks in the indoor against the fourth-string walk-on tackles when Julian Sain is trying to – that did not go well.
Now, in that same period of 11-on-11 work, Julian Sain delivered his very best throw of the day, over the shoulder, streaking Carnell Tate down the left sideline. I think that was – it had been – a little bit rough in terms of the actual accuracy and consistency, and it could be because of what you're talking about. A, it's day one. B, you got Kenyatta Jackson and C.J. Hicks getting in your face, and it's going to be difficult. There were a lot of, like, check down opportunities for Julian Sain, and the converse thing was, I think that the single best throw I saw all day was Julian Sain. The more consistent throws were Lincoln Keenholz. That man can absolutely rip a slant, and it's a lot easier when it's Jeremiah Smith, but he was also doing it, you know, between the linebackers and between coverage to Mylon Graham. So imagine that. I was looking at number five running a route out there and being, my eyes were drawn to it. But so it doesn't mean anything because it's day one. I think it does reinforce in my mind that maybe the highest ceiling is Julian Sain, but that the floor currently could still be Lincoln Kienholz. But that may well change tomorrow. It's not, they did not determine who the starting quarterback was today. Yeah. And both of them had things that they're going to have to do better.
Yeah, and it's clear, not that it needs to be reiterated because we tried to say this in the spring as much as possible. This is a two-man quarterback room right now. And then you have Tavian St. Clair, who is in developmental year and an opportunity to learn and grow. And Eli Brickhandler is a body. Like, that's what he's here for. That's what he was brought in 2 months ago to do. It's to just even out the rooms. This is a two-man competition. And I know a lot of people don't think it's a competition at all. I guess we'll see. I don't personally believe that, but we'll see how it goes moving forward. What coach was the maddest today? Which coach did you see that was the most pissed off?
Brian Hartline. For me. I mean, I was primarily watching the offense. And there were the younger wide receivers, let's say, especially when they moved inside and they were trying to recapture some of the urgencies. They started out here, outdoors, great setup for the fans for the most part, except when they went and did 7-on-7 on the far field. I'm not sure how much the fans could see of that. But
They had to move that down for the VIPs.
But for activities and things, like, it's still very cool. And there's tickets for Friday and Saturday still available if you want to come out.
And it's not supposed to rain tomorrow.
And catch that. But, you know, they started outside. They got, you know, a little 60% of the way through, and then they had to finish in the indoor, and it was like, oh, okay, well, you stopped and you're standing around. Brian Hartline was livid. There were a little bit of like personnel substitution packages that weren't operated to his perfection, to his preference, and he was very loud and vocal about that. That was the closest that I was to any of the coaches throughout, you know, the way that the fields were set up. So maybe I'm biased on that regard, but I think Brian Hartline, he knows how he's going to be evaluated this year. He was not going to waste day one, and the standard is the standard in that room for sure. He got on a couple of those younger guys, including one who I may or may not be on the bandwagon for.
Which one's that?
I don't know.
Okay, cool. For me, it was Tyler Bowen. The only use of words that we can't say on this show that I heard today was expressed by the offensive line coaches, which is not abnormal. Let's be clear.
That's their love language.
That is sort of a standard operating procedure for that group. Again, not to beat a dead horse, but that backup offensive line, backup tackles, or our presumptive backup tackles, which was Philip Daniels on the right side and Ian Moore on the left side, had a mighty big struggle with Kenyatta Jackson and CJ Hicks, who just absolutely embarrassed them multiple times in a row to the point where Tyler Bowen was pretty grossed out by it. I think it's interesting, and I'm just because it's day one and we're going to overreact to things. I saw, like, on the right side of the line there with Tegra Shibola and Philip Daniels, like, one rep was really good, and you're like, wow, that's gonna be a dangerous duo if they're out there together. And then the next rep was like, oh boy, that's a bad duo. Let's hope that doesn't happen. And then, you know, to Philip Daniels' credit, and this is what I've loved about him since he got to Ohio State, as practice was over, after Ryan Day's press conference is over, as we're walking out here to the fans' outdoor studio for this snap judgments, the only players working still on the indoor were Philip Daniels and CJ Hicks and
Ethan Onyanwa.
So
you're stealing my thunder, man. That's my shtick on snap judgments.
But like that's CJ Hicks is really bought. We talked about him all offseason. I don't know if he's going to be that guy once the lights are on and the games have started, but he is committed to trying to be the best defensive end he can be because he's always working.
I mean, we'll see what happens when the split squad stuff is over. I mean, he was traveling with Kenyatta Jackson. Like, that's not nothing. They don't generally split up because you saw the tackles together. Yeah. You saw the guards together. You saw the defensive ends together, in my opinion, and you saw the defensive tackles. When Edric Houston went down, he was playing next to Caden McDonald. So I think sometimes you can read into that part with the way that they package the rest of those units together, but not necessarily for the quarterbacks because that's going to continue to rotate, and it will in to day two, where we will be back out here as well as all of the live broadcast for the fan, starting with Morning Juice and T-Bone and Tyvus. Bishop and Friends will be out here, and we will be as well. We'll have the beat on Friday morning. Got something that we're pretty excited about to cook up for you guys, so stick around for all of that on 97.1 The Fan, 10TV, and 10TV Plus, and anywhere that you download audio podcasts. Snap Judgment is not exactly the way we thought it was going to go at day one, but day two can only get better for the Buckeyes from here on out. He's Berm. I am Austin. These are Snappy Jays. We'll see you later.